The posting of an internet database of priests accused of sexual abuse is attracting a steadily rising number of hits. It's the only database of its kind available to the public, but it was not issued by the Catholic Church. Victims' rights groups are hailing the publication as a step forward, but some Catholics worry it could provide a forum for false information. NPR religion correspondent Duncan Moon reports.
Paul Beyer is a Catholic, a concerned father, and founder of Survivors First, the organization that compiled the database and put it online. The list contains the names of 573 U.S. priests who have been convicted of child sexual abuse or face public accusations.
I was shocked that such a database didn't exist. We've been very disappointed that bishops have not done this. And everybody I've talked to has been shocked that so many priests have already been convicted. Many people thought maybe 10 or 15 or maybe 20 priests have been convicted since the Vatican sponsor report identified this problem in 1985. The fact that over 100 have been convicted is really troubling, and it's troubling that that's a number that hasn't been shared with the general public by the bishops.
Victims are praising the publication of the list. Mark Serrano, an abuse victim and member of the victims' rights group SNAP, says publishing names of perpetrators is critical.
It offers healing because most survivors of abuse enter into shame, guilt, and silence well into adulthood, thinking they were the only one, thinking that the abuse was their fault. When they see the name of their perpetrator on a website like this, they realize they're not the only one, and it can begin a process of healing for them that they never otherwise would have had.
If anyone doubts that's true, Paul Beyer says 5 new victims have already come forward in the week since the database was published. But critics say the list could drag falsely accused priests through the public square, compounding injustice with injustice. Chester Gillis, the chairman of the religion department at Georgetown University, says the Survivors First list has its value and appears to be substantially accurate.
But even if there were a small minority that were not accurate, then that's exactly why the bishops have set up the new process that they have, so that there is due process and so that there is protection of people who might be falsely accused. And this doesn't afford that, it appears to me.
And Gillis says the publishing of the list could backfire against the victims' rights movement.
Ironically, I think it could turn out to be a public relations problem for the Survivors Network. If, because of the nature of the information and the fact that some of these are allegations only and they haven't been litigated yet, so they're not fully resolved. And even though they have a disclaimer, this is not a witch hunt, it could appear as such to some.
But Paul Beyer says Survivors First has been very careful in compiling their list, and that it only brings together information that was already available in the public domain.
One of the interesting things we found is that despite the concern, we have been very aggressive actually looking for cases that involved false allegations, and we've only found 3 to 4 to date. The lead lawyer for the U.S. Church actually has come out and said that very few of the cases he's seen have been false allegations. And, you know, I think the danger is that we continue to not be diligent in terms of making sure that other states enforce reporting laws and we don't have the situation again in 10 years from now.
Both Beyer and his critics agree the new list proves one thing. If the bishops thought the signing of their charter against sexual abuse a week ago was going to put the scandal behind them, they were mistaken. Duncan Moon, NPR News, Washington.